Welcome back to Pass Your Life and Health Insurance Exam Podcast. I'm your host here, Biko. I'm very excited to have you back. So as you can tell from my voice, I'm a little hoarse. I don't know what's the cause for that. I don't know, maybe I'm coming down with a virus or something, but please forgive that. So just to give you guys some heads up, I'm going to talk about taxes, right? Because on your exam, you're going to be asked about taxes, taxation of life insurance, taxation of annuities, all of that. That would be a part of your exam. Now, the good news is that would not be a significant portion of your exam. For most states, it will be about 8% or less of your exam. So that is the good news. Now, when it comes to taxes, people tend to be very confused. And write this so, because taxes are very confusing. It's a very confusing topic. Even for me, when I was taking my exam, that was one of the portions of the exam that really gave me some problems. So we're going to break that down today. We're going to talk about taxation of insurance products. Okay. So once you understand the concepts, you will be able to get those questions right on your exam. Now, so before we can get to that, just some housekeeping items here. So if you're from Washington, D.C., we have our ebook out for our textbook. It's on Apple Books right now. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Kobo, all of that. Good news for you from Washington, D.C. is sometime this month, we should have the paperback version of that book of the Washington, D.C. Life Insurance Pre-Licensing Textbook. We should have the paperback version available on Amazon. We've already submitted to Amazon. We're just waiting for approval. No, the approval process takes between 5 to 10 days. So we're waiting for them to approve it. Once they approve it, boom, I'm going to do an episode where I'll give you guys the link and you can go and purchase. If you like the content so far, I'm just asking all of you, you've probably been listening for days or weeks now, and I'm sure that you found this podcast very helpful. Then all I ask is just support. So the way you support is by buying some of our products and services, because you're getting hours and hours, over 50 hours, more than 50 hours of free, valuable training to help you pass your life insurance exam. So the least I ask is for you to support what we are doing, to do our textbooks and our courses and all of that. So that should be coming out in about 1 to 2 weeks from now, the Washington, D.C. Life Insurance Textbook. So when that comes up, I'll send a link. Now, as I said last week, for those of you from Texas, Nevada, and other states, we should also have the textbooks out for you guys. It should be coming out, if not in April, then it should be definitely coming out in May. So keep an eye out for that. Again, I'm going to put the link to that in upcoming episodes. We also have our self-study course. So you can go to our website. The link is in this description, menzopass.com. And guys, our courses are very good. Our self-study course, it has the highest pass rate in the industry. I think it's 84%. 84% pass rate. The industry average is around 37% pass rate. So we are doing very well. So that is all I ask for you guys to please support. I'm getting a little worse here. So I think my voice is getting worse off. So let me microwave some quick tea. Let me heat up tea. Maybe that'll help with my voice. So that is it, guys. We have a lot of great things coming up, and I'll keep you guys informed. Okay, so let's get started. Yeah, let's talk about taxes. We know taxes are one of those things that almost nobody likes. Rich and poor, right? Young and old, nobody likes to pay taxes. Sadly, we have to pay taxes, right? So we have to pay taxes. There is no way to avoid it. So you either pay your taxes or you go to jail. Or if you're super rich, you don't pay taxes and you're not going to go to jail. But anyway, that's topic for another day. So taxes are very important. Why are taxes important? Well, that's how the government is run, right? Because we need that tax money to fund the military, pay for the local schools, you know, pay the cops, firefighters, all of that, you know. So we need taxes. The taxes go to fund roads, bridges, all of that, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So taxes are very important, and I think, even though a lot of people may not agree, but I think paying taxes is one of the things that makes America to be what it is, to be such a developed country. Because if nobody was paying taxes, then we won't have all of the services that we have in this country, which is better than most countries in the world. So let's talk about taxes. So one thing, and I hope you have a pen and paper in handy, or you have something to take notes. Just keep this in mind. Uncle Sam must get money from you some way, somehow, but he has to get his cut. He can either get his cut up front or on the back end. What do I mean up front? He can either get his cut of your money. He can get his portion of your money in taxes. He can get that before you receive it. Or he can get it from you after you receive it. But rule of thumb, for exam purposes, just know that you have to pay taxes. So if you didn't pay taxes up front, that means you pay taxes when you go to, you know, to take out that money. If you pay taxes before putting that money in the insurance, that means when you go to take that money out, you're not going to pay any taxes. So just know that Uncle Sam will always get his cut, so you always have to pay tax. The good news is you're not going to get taxed twice. So if you get taxed before your money goes in, you're not going to get taxed when your money comes out, when you take your money out, right? So once you understand that concept, it will go a long way in helping you to answer most of the tax questions right. All right. I think I need to get a sip of my tea, because if not, I may not be able to complete this podcast. Let me get a little sip of tea here for a minute. All right, so I'm back. I have some honey in my tea. I don't know why I'm hoarse. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, so what I like to do is go over some questions. We'll take about maybe 5 to 6 sample questions. And what I want you to do is please write your answers down. Trust me, you're doing it for yourself. Take a pen and paper, or if you have a notebook, you know, or you have a laptop, whatever. But please write your answers down. So in that way, you can be able to see whether you really understand this very well. So you will do it before and then after, and you will see your progress, okay? So question number one. It says here, premiums on life insurance policies create a blank in the policy for tax reasons. A, dividend. B, cash value. C, cost basis. D, loan. So that's question number one. Again, if you didn't understand it, you can rewind. Number two, which of the following is false about the transactions that qualify as 1031 exchange? So 1031 exchange is very likely to show up on your exam, so you have to know this one, okay? So the options are A, converting a variable annuity into an equity index annuity. B, a variable universal life insurance policy with an equity index policy. C, a fixed annuity into a variable annuity. D, a whole life policy into a universal life policy. Okay, let's come here to question number three. What are the tax consequences if an annuitant, again, we're talking about annuities, okay? So what are the tax consequences if an annuitant withdraws money from their annuity before reaching the age of 59 and a half, okay? So remember that 59 and a half, you're going to see that on your exam. For tax purposes, you're going to see that on your exam when it comes to retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of that stuff. You're going to see that 59 and a half. So that's a very important number to remember. We'll talk about it later. So the options are A, a 15% tax penalty is added to the tax deferred component of the withdrawal. B, a 10% tax penalty is added to the total withdrawal. C, there is a tax and a 10% penalty on the withdrawal that represents earnings. D, tax on the cost basis plus a 10% penalty on the tax deferred portion of the withdrawal. Okay, we'll come here to question number four. A Roth IRA is unique for which of the following reasons? So again, so this is retirement, okay? So on your life insurance exam, you'll also be tested on retirement accounts. So Roth IRAs, IRAs, SEP IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, all those retirement plans, that all falls under taxation. You even Social Security also gets into it. So again, that's why I said the tax portion is very complicated. The good news for you is it only makes up, for most states, less than 8% of your exam. So even if you get all the tax questions wrong, you can still pass your exam. So that's the good news for you. Okay, so the options here are A, non-deductible contributions and non-taxable distributions, B, taxable contributions and non-taxable distributions, C, tax-deductible contributions and taxable distributions, D, non-deductible contributions and taxable distributions. All right, let's go to question number five. Premium will be tax deductible in which of the following instances? A, premiums paid by a parent on a child's policy. B, premiums paid by an insured on his or her own life insurance. C, premium paid by Cigna Corporation on a key person policy for their CFO. D, premiums paid by Cigna Corporation on a $50,000 group term life insurance plan for their employees. Okay, so we're going to stop here so it can allow me some time to really explain. So I hope you wrote down all your answers. Excuse me. Oh, man. My throat. Excuse me. Why is my throat so hoarse like this? So I try to keep to my promise of putting out one episode every week. So I should have done it yesterday, which was Monday. But I was not feeling too well. So I said, well, I'll wait until today to do it. And it looks like my voice is still not better. So I said, well, I'll just go ahead and record it anyway, because I want to be consistent. Every Monday, there should be an episode for you. All right. So let's get to question number one. So question number one, what was your answer? Let me read that question again. So premiums on life insurance policies create a blank in the policy for tax reasons. A, dividend. B, cash value. C, cost basis. And D, loan. So correct answer there is C, cost basis. So why is it, why is C the correct answer? So again, on your exam, you're going to get these insurance jargons. So you got to understand what those terminologies, those vocabularies mean. So cost basis just means the money that you put in, right? So cost basis, another name for your cost basis is your principal, right? So that is the money you pay into your policy, right? It can be a retirement account. It can be an annuity. It can be a life insurance. Cost basis is the money that you put in, right? So that is how they determine what amount to tax you on. So while we're still on taxes, note again, if you are a business owner, you know that you're only taxed on your profits. You're only taxed on your gains. So for example, if you own stocks, and let's say let's say you bought your stocks for $1,000, and that stock appreciates, it goes up in value, now it's $2,000. Or let's say it's, it goes up in value by 500. So your profit is 500, right? So what you'll be taxed on will be 500. You will not be taxed on the entire 1,005. Just what you got, what your profit is. Okay. So anything more than your cost basis is considered your profit, and that's considered taxable. So if you put in 500 into your life insurance policy, that 500 now is, let's say it's $2,000. $1,005 is your profit. So that one, because that is above your cost basis, that's above what you put in. So that would be taxable. Now, we'll get into it later on. But for tax purposes, just know that life insurance death benefits are not taxable. Okay? So the death benefit for life insurance policies are not taxable. All right. So we have that out, right? Let's come here to, let me read that answer to you. It says, the cost basis of a policy is determined primarily by totaling the premiums put into the policy. Cost basis is the amount of money, premium, that a policy owner pays into an insurance policy. So that is the amount of money you put into a policy. Now, because you as the policy owner, remember what I told you earlier, that Uncle Sam has to pay, has to get his cut. So he can either tax you before you put your money in, or he can tax you when you go to take your money out. But just know that, number one, Uncle Sam will tax you at least once, or he'll tax you somewhere, either before or after. And two, you cannot be taxed twice, right? So if you pay your life insurance premium, right, your life insurance premium is paid with after-tax money. You're an employee. Uncle Sam has already taxed your your salary, right? So now what you receive is after tax money. So now when you put that money in your life insurance, because you have already paid taxes on it, remember I told you Uncle Sam can only tax you once. So because you've already paid taxes on it and you put it in, when you go to take that money out, whether in the form of a death benefit or in the form of a loan, you don't pay any taxes. Why? Because you've already been taxed on it before. So that is the good thing about life insurance. So even if you got a profit, let's say you put in $20,000 in premium in your life insurance policy, but now you die and your policy is a $1 million policy, even though you just put in $20,000, but your beneficiary will receive that $1 million death benefit tax-free. So that is one of the beauties of life insurance, because you are not taxed on your profits. So remember I said you'll be taxed on your profits? Well, that is an exception, right? Your death benefit, the profits are not taxed. For life insurance, know that it's an exam question. More than likely, they will come on your exam. Death benefits are never, ever taxed. All right, let's move on to question number two. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please let me know how my voice sounds. I didn't want to delay any longer because I could have put this off until maybe Thursday or Friday. But no, I made a promise to you that I'll publish one episode every Monday, and I want to stick to that promise unless it's beyond my control. God forbid I'm in a hospital or something severe like that, but I'll try to do this for you. All right. So question number two, it says here, which of the following is false about the transactions that qualify as 1035 exchange? So A says converting a variable annuity into an equity index annuity. B, a variable universal life insurance policy with an equity index index annuity. C, a fixed annuity into a variable annuity. And A, a whole life policy into a universal life policy. So correct answer there is B. It says here, which of the following is false, right? So B is false. It says a variable universal life insurance policy, you can exchange it with an equity index annuity. So let's talk about 1035 exchange. What is 1035 exchange? So 1035 exchange is the IRS law that allows people to switch from one investment portfolio to another without having to pay taxes. So let's say, for example, if I have my 401k, I can roll that 401k into another 401k. Or let's say if I have my IRA, I can roll that IRA into my 401k without having to pay taxes. Now, there are some rules that come with the 1035 exchange. I won't go into too many details, but just know that 1035 exchange is the law that allows you to take your money from one account, transfer it to another account without having to pay taxes on it. And in order for you not to pay taxes on it, it has to meet the IRS definition of a 1035 exchange. All right, so the correct answer here is B. Why is it B, right? Now, know that you cannot convert, right, from a life insurance to an annuity. So let's say I have a cash value life insurance. I cannot say, oh, IRS, I'm going to convert this $50,000 in my life insurance cash value in my life insurance policy, I'm going to convert it into an annuity. No, that does not work, right? Under the 1035 exchange rules, just memorize this one. You cannot go from a life insurance to an annuity. Now you can transfer, you can convert from one life insurance to another life insurance and don't pay taxes. Like I had one of my clients, she had a life insurance account with Transamerica. Transamerica is one of the companies that I work with. So she had a life insurance account with Transamerica. She was opening an account with them, but she had about $5,000 in her universal life insurance policy with another insurance company. So she didn't want to have to be paying two premiums at the same time. And then the Transamerica insurance was cheaper, better for her, all of that. So what she did was she just rolled that policy. She just rolled it over into the Transamerica policy. And her cash value, that amount, instead of her having to take out that $5,000 in her cash value from that other insurance company and have to pay taxes on it, she just moved that $5,000 into a Transamerica account. We did a 1035 exchange, didn't have to pay any taxes, right? Now, but if that was a life insurance policy that she's trying to roll that money into, it was not going to work, right? You can't go from a life insurance to an annuity product. So just know that, memorize this. It may be difficult, but you cannot convert from, you cannot roll over your account, right? You cannot roll over your money in a life insurance to an annuity, but you can roll over your money that's in an annuity. You can roll it over into a life insurance policy. All right. So we have that down. So the answer, yes, says annuities cannot be converted into life insurance. It's the other way around. I'm sorry if I confuse you. Annuities cannot be converted. So it's the other way around. So you cannot convert from annuities to life insurance, right? So annuities cannot be converted into a life insurance policy under 1035, section 1035 of the Internal Revenue Code. However, life insurance can be converted to an annuity. So it's the other way around, because this question asks which one is false. So it's the opposite. So correct answer there is B. All right, number three, what are the tax consequences if an annuitant withdraws money from the annuity before reaching age 59 and a half? Let's talk about this. So age 59 and a half is a very important number. Keep in mind that for tax purposes, any kind of account that is taxed by the government, whether it's a 401k, IRA, name it, right? Or retirement account. Anytime you take money out before age 59 and a half, number one, you're going to be penalized 10%. So whatever you take out, they're going to penalize you 10%. So they'll withdraw 10%. And then in addition to that 10% penalty, you're going to pay any taxes you owe. So let's say you take out $10,000 from your 401k and you're 45 years old. Well, they're going to charge you, penalize you 10%. So they're going to keep 10% of that, 10% of that, let's say $4,000. So that's 400. In addition to that, they're going to withdraw, withhold taxes. Usually it's around 20%, okay? So just know that if you take money out before age 59 and a half, you're going to be penalized. And what is that penalty? 10% penalty. And in addition to that, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. But if you wait until age 59 and a half, you're not going to pay the 10% penalty. No, only thing you still have to pay is taxes. Again, this depends on the kind of account you have. So the exception to this is a Roth IRA. So a Roth IRA, you don't pay any a Roth IRA, you already put is you pay with after tax money, right? So the money you put in that is not tax deductible, right? So you've already paid taxes on that money you put into a Roth IRA. So that Roth IRA now grows tax free. So you can take your money out of the Roth IRA. Now there are some requirements to do that, but you meet those requirements, you can take your money out of that Roth IRA without having to pay any taxes. So Roth IRA is the exception, but all of the other retirement plans like 401k, IRAs, all of that, 403bs, those are funded with pre-tax money. So you don't get tax on the money that goes into that account. But when you go to take that money out, you're going to get taxed on your withdrawals, right? So remember, again, I told you in the beginning, Uncle Sam will tax you somehow. He either taxes you before you put your money in, or he taxes you when you go to take your money out. So if you know that you've been taxed before that money was put in, then on the exam, you know that, oh, I've already paid taxes on this money, or this person paid tax on this money. So now they're going to receive this money tax-free because they paid tax on it before putting it into their account. So that one, what are the tax consequences if an annuitant withdraws money from the annuity before reaching age 59 and a half? Well, correct answer there is C. There's a tax penalty, and a 10% penalty on the withdrawal that represents earnings. So it's going to be, is that penalty will be on your, it's going to be on your profits. Okay. So what you put in, again, as I told you, right? Let's say you put in 500 and that 500 grows to 1,005, you'll be taxed on your $1,000 profit, not on the entire 1,005. Okay, I'm losing my voice. Let me get a little sip of tea. What's going on with my voice here? Okay, so number four, a Roth IRA is unique for which of the following reasons? Okay, I'll just cut to the answer. Correct answer is A, as I said. So Roth IRA is a type of retirement account that the money you put into your Roth IRA is not tax deductible. Right? Why? Because you're paying with after-tax money, so you cannot claim it on your taxes. But the good thing is now when you go to take that money out, it is non-taxable. All right? So your withdrawals are not taxed. On your exam, you may say not taxed, non-taxable, all means the same thing. But when you put your money in, you've already been taxed on that money. So just know that Roth IRA is the opposite of all of the other retirement accounts when it comes to taxes. So it's the opposite of 401k, IRAs, 403bs, SEP IRAs, all of that when it comes to taxes. All right. Now let's go here to question number five. This is the last one. I'm going to have to stop here because my voice is really getting worse. Premium will be tax deductible in which of the following instances? So A says premium paid by a parent on a child's policy. B, premiums paid by an insured on his or her own life insurance policy. C, premium paid by Cigna Corporation on a key person policy for their CFO. And D, premiums paid by Cigna Corporation on a 50,000 group term life insurance plan for their employees. So correct answer is D. So know that anytime an employee... Okay, anytime your company spends money on you, your company gets to claim that because it's considered a business expense. So whether they're buying, you know, they're paying for your insurance premiums, yeah, you won't pay any premium or you'll pay very little premium, but whatever your employer is paying for your premium or your benefits, right, your employer gets to deduct that. So it's considered tax deductible expense for your employer. All right. So any premium your employer pays for your group life insurance is tax deductible to your employer. So correct answer here is premiums paid by an employer or on a group term plan will be tax deductible to the employer. Premiums paid on a key person insurance are not tax deductible to the employer. However, the employer receives the death benefit tax-free. I really wanted to go on a little more and explain and break this tax topic down because it confuses a lot of people. But I figure if I really push this, maybe my voice will just cut off. So I'll have to stop here. But again, if you really want to understand this tax thing, take our self-study course. We have a whole 35-minute or I think maybe 45-minute video where I break everything down for you to really comprehend the taxation of insurance products and retirement plans. So go or you can get out pre-licensing textbook. We also have a cheat code that breaks everything down for you to understand. So thank you very much, guys. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, please follow us, comment, share, right? We want to hear from you. If you have any questions for us, you can also email us. Our email is in the description. Please be safe. Thank you very much for being a loyal listener. And good luck on your exam.